Down the Dunk Podcast. Good morning and welcome to the Down the Dunk Podcast for this June 21st. It is the summer solstice. And so this is our summer solstice edition of the Down to Dunk Podcast. Actually, it is the day after the end of the NBA season, which is a sad day for any sports fan, really, and a sad day for all NBA and Thunder fans.
I call it the Dark Ages.
It is the Dark Ages.
I told my girlfriend to wake me up after my... After my summer slumber.
Oh, come on. The NBA never stops nowadays. We have the draft. You have free agency.
Yeah, summer.
Summer league.
Rookie, yeah.
I mean, it never stops.
But then I needed that. So Andrew's going to walk us through our grief process. But last night was the end of what was really a weird yet, in the end, really, really good finals series. The Heat won in seven games. Six and seven were two really, really good games. Six was one of the best games I've ever seen in my life. And seven was, I think they were both exhausted, but just fresher, newer legs. And LeBron James went out in the end. And Shane Battier. So let's talk real quick about game six, which if you didn't watch it, what were you doing, and how have you not caught another recording of it? Because NBA TV has been playing it. Heat, I mean, literally come from the grave to hit two big threes at the end. The Spurs hit a couple free throws, or missed a couple free throws there towards the end. And
it's that Kawhi free throw, first one.
But Manu hit one, missed one.
Manu missed one, too.
A couple series earlier.
That's true. But the Kawhi one had more significance in the moment, though.
Oh, yeah. It did.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he would have hit that, it would have been over. They win the title.
It would have been a two-possession game.
That free throw was the title.
Which is the hardest thing. Kawhi Leonard, and this is what I was saying earlier before we started, will live with that for the rest of his life.
Do you kind of feel like he doesn't really care that much about it, though?
I think he
of course he cares, but he doesn't show that on the court, and he's not going to say anything to the reporters. But if you're a human being, if your heart is beating, you're going to care about that.
Are we sure that his heart is beating?
We're not quite sure. His push shot does look a little robotic.
It goes in every single time. It does. Every time.
He is.
That is not an. That's not an easy shot.
You talking about the one in the lane, like he always.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one. Yeah. It's just like five feet away. Yeah.
It's like almost a jump shot, but almost a hook shot, a little baby hook.
It's just a little push.
Gosh, it is a hard shot. But if you look at Kawhi, and if I'm Kawhi Leonard, I'm thinking, I don't know when the Spurs will have. They'll get back. They'll be good for. Ever, it feels like. But this was one of their best shots to win that title.
With this big three, I think Tim Duncan was probably the last shot.
You would think at some point we'll slow down.
He's going to. And Manu's about done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
If you watched any of this series, you saw
he looked bad.
The worst that Manu's ever played in his life. If he had Manu from 6 years ago in that series, they win it in six.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe five.
Yeah.
And the thing, so there's a few things that stick out to me from it.
But then Kawhi would be like 16. So
still the same expression. Fearless.
You can't get in that time machine.
Still have that push shot.
Hey, they defended LeBron as well as they could for five and three-fourths of a game.
Everyone was saying in the Indiana series that Paul George was the best defender LeBron will go against in the playoffs. That's not true at all. Kawhi Leonard
Boris. Boris. Yeah.
Okay.
He was actually really good.
Yes, he was for a sample. I mean, it's not like he was guarding him the whole game.
In any time that he was guarding him, he was good.
Yes, he was good.
The only issue...
Kawhi has to guard him almost the whole game.
Right.
Boris Diaw, the only liability for him is when LeBron is hitting his perimeter shots.
Yeah. Because if you can push D.L. about 5 feet off of him and say, you're either going to have to drive or you're going to have to settle for a jump shot, D.L. was really good.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Because he couldn't post him up because D.L. weighs, I think, 360.
He's big.
But that was one of the most surprising parts of this playoffs was watching him.
Worst D.L.
I said it. It looks like me. Do I weigh quite a bit? It looks like me out there defending LeBron, except for it's successful, and I don't get embarrassed on a basketball court by LeBron dunking on me.
It didn't make any sense.
It was beyond reason. And so
LeBron just kept bouncing off of him. Like, he tried to go by him, and usually he can, like, body people and go by him, push him off. He just bounces right off. Bounces backwards.
I loved that. Defense. So that aspect of it, Eric Spoelstra, and some of it's luck. Like, I'll attribute a lot of that game six to luck. Like, you got two long rebounds, and which happens on long threes. You get Ray Allen, and Ray Allen has practiced that shot a million times. I'm not saying that was luck, but still the percentages on that shot are in the 30s.
The step back.
Yeah.
Make sure your feet aren't out of bounds. Make sure your feet are beyond the three-point line.
Between the three-point line and the out-of-bounds line. He steps back perfectly.
In his face. I mean, it's not like that was an open shot either.
Right. And the big deal, and this was the game six shot, to send it to overtime, was the Chris Bosh rebound and the pass.
Yeah.
Because Bosh was really good in spots.
Yeah.
In the finals.
He's really underappreciated.
Yeah.
And some of that's valid. Some of that's because I don't know if he scored, 8 points last night?
He had 0 points last night.
Stop.
I promise you he did.
So some of that is deserved. But some of it also, he does a lot of things that help with the team.
Yeah. He was just so unassertive, and it's just almost shocking because, I mean, he was 0 for 5 last night. He took 5 shots. Him and Mike Miller took the same amount of shots.
Well, and what's weird is they were even letting Bosh take jump shots, which they should have this series because he was not hitting his jump shots. Right. But, I mean, if that's Bosh's role, like, that's what Bosh has been doing all season. Like, hit your open jump shots. Take open jump shots.
That's all we can
do. And he wasn't. I mean, he was getting the ball, and he was passing it. He was passing it.
Which makes him fairly. And a lot of
he's extremely passive. Yeah. Yes.
He grew up in Dallas, which means he got – and I don't know if this is probably not significant at all, but he grew up in Dallas, and when he grows – I mean, he's young enough to where he was watching Tim Duncan and David Robinson, and so there's – I wonder if there's any aspect of that, especially when Tim comes out and just –
He guarded Duncan pretty well.
Yeah, in spots he did. He was part of the reason he scored 25 but a lot of those were just Duncan making absurd shots.
Yeah.
But so you've got Bosh, you've got the biggest, so the last kind of point for me, and I won't say definitively, I won't say anything, but I would have loved to have seen the Thunder play. Now, I don't know if they make the adjustments, but I would have loved to have seen the Thunder play the way the Heat played. In this series, I would love to have seen the Thunder play with the Heat not going insane from the three-point line because they weren't really that good. Mike Miller was good for a game. Shane Battier last night was spectacular.
Yeah. See, that's one of the things about the Thunder is that the Thunder don't have, like, all these interchangeable guys that can come in. Like, Shane Battier came in and scored 18 last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Thunder don't have a guy like that they cannot play one game and then they can score 18 another game.
Yeah.
Well, and they also don't have the unlimited amount of wing players that can guard. Like, it feels like the Spurs can roll out there. And they don't trust putting Perkins on LeBron, I guess.
And that's one of the problems with the Thunder competing for a title, but also kind of in this still we're building a team mode, is that you have so many guys that you don't trust that are on your team that are taking up a roster spot that you cannot play in tough spots. So, it's great to have young players, and it's something that everybody wants. But at the same time, if you're competing for a title, you need to have multiple veterans that you can just bring off the bench. They have Ray Allen, Shane Battier coming off the bench.
Haslam comes every once in a while.
Yeah, Udonis Haslam. He only played 2 minutes last night.
Well, and Norris Cole, did he play at all last night?
No, Norris Cole didn't play. James Jones.
Come on. Do you guys remember? Every time I see James Jones, I totally forgot about James Jones. Who was
Juwan Howard?
Juwan Howard.
Who was a
is
role
he a
player?
Coach technically now.
High fiving. No,
he's a player.
He's on. He's there.
He was crying on LeBron's shoulder last night. You did it, man. You did it.
You did
it. Got me two rings.
I can't believe you did this.
I didn't do anything.
Screw you, Chris Webber.
One of my favorite moments of the entire series, though, man, and I have just a love for Greg Popovich, and I like Spoelstra a lot, too. Like, one of the things I will take from this series is he comes to Doris Burke in between the third and fourth quarter, the Heater down 10 going into the fourth quarter. And Doris asks, what do you got to do? What do you have to do to change this game, the outcome of this game? He says, we need to play the best defensive quarter of our lives. And the Heat played the best defensive quarter they could have played.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan had 0 points. And didn't get one. I don't think the Spurs got an easy shot until Dwayne Wade subbed in.
And then it all changed.
And then it all changed, and they ended up up by five with, you know, 30 seconds left, still somehow lost. But Spoelstra really, really transformed kind of that team. And so it's not transformed the team. They would be good with regardless of who their coach is, but I think he fits. And I remember thinking when they hired him that this is just another one of those Pat Riley, Sarah, you know, like they're putting him in there and the Pat Riley's going to jump in when it becomes convenient for him. But
yeah,
Spoelstra has taken this team and made them good. I mean, they're really, really good. And I think people need to get off their
hate train.
The hate train. And I say that because, like, first off, they're beatable. Like, two teams took them to 7 games this playoff, and so they're beatable. And I think that what happens for most fans is it's the New York Yankees effect. And there's people that will gravitate to love the Yankees because they put all the best players on the same team, and then there's a lot of people that hate those teams. And for some reason, people hate success. Like the Patriots in NFL football, every year they win the division. Every year they're top 2 or 3 seed. And so every year there's a whole bunch of people. I just hate the Patriots. Why? I don't know. I just do. And that's a lot what I feel like for the Heat. And I'm taking my talents to South Beach. I'm over that. LeBron's a good dude. It seems like he's a really, really good dude. But the reason I pull for the Spurs in this series is because I love parity. And I love different teams, but all that to say that this team is really, really, really good, and LeBron is already one of the top 20 players of all time.
Oh, he's in the top 10. Come on,
this is what I don't understand.
That'd be a fun thing to walk through. Probably right. Until people retire, it's hard to crown him.
This is what I don't understand. You say people don't like success. People don't like when teams are really good. All this stuff. The Spurs have been the most successful team consistently for 13 years or whatever, 14 years.
What was the last finals championship?
2007.
2007.
Yeah.
So 6 years ago. Nobody knows that.
But still, it's like, it's so weird how the people have been treating the Spurs and how the people have been treating the Heat.
But there's also,
it's like all these Thunder fans is like, oh, the Spurs are in? Okay, let's do this.
Yeah, but it's so fresh in the minds of Thunder fans that they lost to the Heat in the finals. Sure. Last year.
And there's also an aspect for the Thunder and the Spurs where it's kind of like the, I'm trying to think of an analogy that works for that, but you think of a team that built it from the ground up. You know, like the Thunder went through the 18 win seasons and the Spurs did too, you know, and both of them didn't go out and get the top three free agents or top 2 free agents, and people aren't taking $0 to go sign with them like Ray Allen or Shane Battier. It's the same thing issues people have for the Lakers, and so that's the part where I think for me it makes me go, the Spurs built this thing from the ground. I mean, they drafted Tim Duncan, they drafted Manu Ginobili, they drafted Tony Parker.
They found Danny Green, they found Gary Neal, guys that nobody else wanted, and they made them into
was washed up,
into
but
players.
Then Bob Katzen comes in and has a decent role on a team. And
I understand that, and I respect and appreciate that, But they have four championships. Everyone's acting like, man, they really just deserve this, man. Like, the Spurs really deserve this championship, and the Heat took it again. I mean, that's how I feel like the attitude is.
Well,
I don't feel like one team deserved it more than the other team, and I don't like this. I don't like how everyone's acting.
I would say that the Spurs outplayed them for most of the series. Like, as far as
it went back and forth. There were games Spurs dominated. Yeah. There were games the Heat dominated. The Spurs messed up Game Six. We can't talk about that.
But I want to see. But I want to see like what was the quarter. Like, who won the most quarters, which isn't
actually the first
in.
The first two or three games, the Spurs had only won one or two quarters.
It would be the Heat
still.
Yeah.
It would be fun.
Let's do this. Let's go into true false. I have a few true false questions.
Oh, hello.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. True or false time, y'all.
Start them up. Let's go.
So the first one is the Heat. This Heat team is an all-time great team. True or false?
False.
It's true.
What do you think?
I think that it's true just because of the fact that LeBron James is on this team. You know, you look back at some of those Jordan teams and you would call them all-time great teams. But you look at some of their role players and you're like,
they weren't great when Jordan was gone for 2 years.
Some of them aren't.
They still in the playoffs both years. Awesome.
I mean, they weren't great, though.
Well, you take LeBron off the Heat for 2 years, and they may not make the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right, and that's the point Andrew's making, I think.
I think that, yeah, I mean, just the fact that LeBron is on the team, there's only been one other time that somebody has averaged 25, 10, and 7 in an NBA Finals, and that's what LeBron did this year, and it was LeBron last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the only two times that has ever happened in the history of the NBA Finals.
He is unique in his skill set. The most gifted, we've said this before, the most gifted physical person in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
And he also is a very unique player. Like, he's not a shoot first guy. That's not his MO, which is what has created all of this issue with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he can, though, when he wants to. But he is an incredible passer. He's a great defender. He can rebound really well. He just is the most, I would say, maybe the most well-rounded player of all time.
Yeah.
Like, up there with Magic Johnson, you know. Like, because Michael was really good. He's the best player of all time. People will still say that, which is fine. I hate making that comparison between generations, but he's the best of all time.
It's too hard to compare because the rules have changed and the game has changed. Mm-hmm. They're completely different players. So, like, how can you tell me that one is better than another? Mm-hmm. Like, who would win in one-on-one?
Yeah.
Well, who cares?
If they're both 26 really years old.
They're both spectacular.
It's hard to think that. But Michael, you know, he wasn't as good of a passer as LeBron. Probably not as good of a rebounder as LeBron.
No.
Now he's a better scorer, and he was as good defensively. Now he couldn't defend all the different positions, but if he's defending a shooting guard, Michael was all defensive NBA or all NBA defensive team for 10 straight years.
And he was just a killer.
Yeah, he was. He had that instinct that made you think this guy would kill the entire stadium in order to win.
And he never lost in the finals is another thing.
Yeah.
And LeBron's 500 in the finals.
I saw a meme the other day that said Game 7, it had Michael Jordan picture, and it said Game 7, ? I thought the finals ended in 6 because they never played a single Game 7.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny.
It is. It's good. I think if LeBron came up as a point guard, if that was his position, which he basically plays. I mean, he's basically the point guard on this team.
Yeah, and they talked about that in 03 when he was drafted, too.
If what?
Playing like a point guard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one would be on his butt about how he plays. If he played that position, if he wasn't a small forward, I don't think anyone would be like,
if he came into
sometimes he just needs to shoot the ball.
If he came to the league like Magic did?
Yeah.
Sometimes people just need to stop.
Yes, 100%.
Here's the thing. you're going to, someday you're going to look back and people are going to ask you about, did you watch LeBron James play?
Yeah.
And right now, if you are too busy hating him and frustrated with him and frustrated that he continues to win, you're going to regret it.
There's people that felt that way probably about Jordan, though.
There were tons of people that did. My and they look back now and they feel kind of dumb. Like, why didn't I sit back and try to appreciate the best player of all time? And this, you could be looking at, you're looking at a top five guy, in my opinion. If he stays healthy and continues on the path that he's on, he's probably going to be a top five guy of all time.
He's got like at least 8 years left in his career, barring any major injuries.
What's hard about this top five is, like, we start pushing against all our nostalgia. You know, like, you think people always throw Bird, Magic, Jordan. Like, that's your top, you know, three of the top
three.
Bill Russell.
Will
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
See, Russell and Jabbar, I think, can get pushed back.
I think you know.
Bill Russell?
Yeah, I think so.
As far as a player,
he's an extremely, he was really good, and he's obviously a winner.
So do we automatically?
But as like an overall player,
do we discount big guys? Is that kind of what you're saying? Like, yes, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is not going to go out to the perimeter and take somebody off the ball and defend a guy really well and pass the ball really well. But as far as centers, I mean, that guy was spectacular and was from an early age. If he doesn't go to Milwaukee straight out of the NBA, I mean, it's the same thing as the Cavs probably. I mean, the guy, the greatest scorer of all time, you know, which a lot of
he won a title there.
75 years old, but the guy was just unstoppable, unguardable as much as anybody in the history of the NBA, unguardable.
But this is
an impossible conversation, and I keep having it because you almost have to do decades. Who are the
Who's the top of each? Yeah, I agree with that. It is really difficult, but I'm saying like if he's still got a ways to go.
Yeah.
I'm not saying today he is.
No, but you're. I
don't think today he is, but I think when it's all said and done, he could be in that top five.
Absolutely.
I think you're right. I think all the hating is going to stop when it's in his later years, and no one's going to remember any of this crap that they're talking about. I looked up a game seven. It was between Lakers Celtics yesterday when Celtics lost to a Magic team in the 80s, and Larry Bird's line was like 5 of 20 something. I think it was like 5 of 20. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 16 points, I think. That's what he had. What, like, he's an all-time great player. If LeBron did that, everyone would be like, "See, stop calling him a great player. You can't not perform in the finals. You can't not perform in game 7."
Now LeBron lives like, in the age of
you don't talk about Larry Bird. You don't talk about that Larry Bird game.
I mean, it's a different media world. It's very different.
Yeah.
And that's a downfall for some of these NBA players.
I think that LeBron in this finals has had to do more and has had to carry more of the load than any star in the finals that I can remember watching.
Yeah. He was really
because
really
Dwayne Wade isn't himself.
Bosh weird.
He didn't score. He didn't score last night. There's not another guy that's had to carry the load like he has had to.
Except for maybe Magic Johnson in the 82 NBA Finals. That's one of the most spectacular games of all time.
Well, that's what I'm saying that I remember. I was.
Well, you should have paid attention back then when you were zero.
Negative four.
That's the game. And I'm going to mess up the stat line, but he was a rookie, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got hurt and set out. And Magic Johnson, a rookie, moved to the center position.
Is that when he had 40 points?
And 20 rebounds.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
That's an amazing story.
But it was.
But I'm saying that I can remember. I mean,
yeah, I don't.
You know, Duncan always had help. Shaq had Kobe.
Mm-hmm. Kobe had Shaq and Powell and Bynum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, and LeBron. You know, you're going to look back and see these names. You're going to see Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, but they didn't play like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
Which is why I won't put this as one of the all-time greats to that.
Which is a great argument for against it.
Yeah. I mean, I would still take probably that Dallas team that beat him in 11. I'd take that team over this team.
Oh, no. Are you really?
Over this team now?
Yes. Just because of how good that team or how well that team played.
But if LeBron played like he did, I think they would have won. Because one of the big differences with even from game to game in this series, is the way that LeBron carried himself and the way that he played. Because last night, he didn't dribble the ball like he did in the other games around the perimeter. He just dribbled up, shot the ball.
Yeah, he shot it with confidence, you know, played with a lot. I just thought that that team had offensive weapons that the Spurs couldn't produce in the last two games. Dirk Nowitzki wasn't getting stopped in that playoff run. You had three-point shooters. You had great point guard positions. And a lot of it was health. I don't think the Heat win this if the Spurs are healthy for that series. And so that's why I can't put them up there as one of the great runs. But I don't know. I mean, it'd be fun to go through some of the old, like, some of those Lakers teams. I don't think this team beats.
No.
The Bynum and Pau Gasol. And
I don't know about those teams. I was thinking
the Shaq-Kobe
Lakers. I don't think they could beat them. But I don't know.
What's funny is I think they would have a better shot against some of those some of those Spurs teams, especially the lockout Spurs team, than they had on this.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those Spurs teams.
Let's not forget too that this team had 66 wins in the regular season had that huge has the record for the longest winning streak in the regular season.
Yeah. 27.
And that does speak for a lot. The regular season.
They just
and those
struggled
weren't easy
such
games.
Big stretches in the playoffs.
Yeah, they did. But they won the championship. I mean,
you're
you struggle.
Right. They will be evaluated.
Play the best teams.
In 10 years, they'll be evaluated on what the outcome was, not on how they
exactly.
got there.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what's your next one?
Next one, true or false, this was the best final series since the 90s.
I don't remember one that I've enjoyed more.
I can't answer.
Which is good because the Thunder weren't in it. If the Thunder were in this series, I would not be here this morning.
Oh, no way.
So let's go through. So last year,
the Heat Thunder.
Thunder Heat, which and then we had Mavericks Heat, which was enjoyable just to watch the Heat lose. Let's be honest. The 2010 Finals was the Lakers Celtics that went 7.
That was good.
It was a pretty good series.
It's just not as fun to watch. Probably
I watched Game 7. Game 7 was pretty bad.
It was horrible.
It was very bad. Kobe was 6-24. There was no Rasheed Wallace started at center for Celtics. And actually didn't do that bad, but
Perkins got hurt, which is crazy that he was that influential in that game.
Let's see.
No, not as enjoyable as this
and
one.
And then an 09 Lakers Magic.
No, gosh, it was horrible.
Yeah,
was that a sweep or was it five? Five games?
It was five. And then 08 LA Boston, 6 games.
That's a pretty good series.
That was pretty good.
That was fun to watch.
Still not as good as this one.
Nope.
07, Spurs swept the Cavs.
Nope.
06, the Miami Heat-Dallas Mavericks game or series.
That was fun for me because I was a Heat fan.
I was
oh, because of Shaq?
We're Shaq fans.
Shaq fans, man.
I have an 06 finals shirt.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
You ordered it?
That was Dwayne. If Dwayne Wade was that, this series, it would end in 4. Dwayne was spectacular.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Did you guys hold on?
I actually found the shirt at Walls 2 years later.
You did?
For $5.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wait, real quick. Can we say this? Was it making you guys like when Dwayne Wade kept going to the left block and shooting those step back jumpers? Were you like, all right, this is gonna kill the Heat eventually? And he kept making them.
Yeah, he was
hitting
good last night too.
That's ridiculous.
He was actually pretty good last night.
His jump shot's been horrible. Anyway, go ahead.
05 was the Spurs Pistons that went 7, but it was god awful. It was horrible.
No. It was the bad Spurs, like the boring Spurs.
Yes. 04, the this broke my heart. Lakers Pistons. Pistons
cannot believe they
Pistons won in 5.
Yeah, they beat the crap out of them.
They won in 5. That's
wasn't
just,
that the Karl Malone and Gary Payton year?
Yes, it was. It was the year they were supposed to just you know, sweep the finals.
Oh, man.
Malone was hurt. I don't even have to talk about it.
Wow,
actually, I don't want to talk about it.
Sounds about the same as last year then.
What does that mean?
With Dwight and Steve Nash, they're supposed to come in and just rock everyone.
Well, they were good, though. They were actually good.
The Lakers, like, no one said that before the season. They actually knew that they were good.
I mean, you had Shaq in his prime.
Yeah, you had Shaq, Kobe, Gary Payton, Karl Malone.
They were old.
Yeah,
for sure.
I know. That was the
but then
out.
Gary, I mean, Gary Payton went on to play several years
He
after.
Won with the Miami Heat, right?
Won a title with the Heat in 06. Yeah. Hit some key shots for him.
He did.
Anyways.
So I remember, you know who I loved in that Heat run? Alonzo Mourning all of a sudden became a guy like, so. God, he went out there and was about 100 miles an hour just running around and blocking shots and blowing out his Achilles.
Antoine Walker, Jason Williams, who was just like, anybody who doesn't have a title, get on this team. We've got to win one.
It's kind of what it is now.
Kind of is.
You got Juwan Howard coming back out of retirement. Anyway, go on.
03 was the Spurs-Nets.
Nope.
And then you have the three-peat.
Which was the Lakers. None of those were good.
Lakers-Nets.
Nets and
Lakers-Sixers, and then Lakers-Pacers. And then that's it.
The bad part about all those, so not a single one of those is as good as this one.
No.
But the bad part is that a lot of those, I remember the Western and Eastern Conference Finals were just spectacular.
Oh, gosh. Especially the
Lakers runs.
2000, what was it, 2002.
They beat the Blazers the 1 year. They beat the Kings 2 years.
No, in 02, they had to play the Blazers, which was a five-game series then. And they beat them. They swept them in three. And that was a good Blazers team, too. And then the second round, they had to play the Spurs. And they pretty much killed the Spurs. And then in the Western Conference Finals, they had to play the Kings. And that was, I mean, that went to seven.
And that's a controversial game seven, am I right?
I don't know if it was the game seven that was controversial, but game six.
Oh, or game six. Game six, that's the one.
Where Robert Horry hit that jump shot at the end of the game. And gosh, that was crazy. Well, then it was the one that the Derek Fisher 0.3-second shot, 0.4-second shot.
That was the year they lost to the Pistons.
Anyway.
But, yeah, that Western Conference Final Series is amazing. Game 7 went to overtime.
Wow.
Yeah. It was insane.
And those Kings teams were so good. I watched some old videos, and they were freaking sick.
And Peja wasn't – you know, Peja, in that series, Hito Turkoglu was playing more than Peja.
Yeah. And Bobby Jackson.
Bobby Jackson.
Bobby was the sixth man of the year, right? Bobby Jackson was?
He was.
1 year?
Yes, he was.
Mike Bibby when he wasn't horrible?
Yeah, he was good. He had some big shots. Vlade fouled out going into overtime, I remember. So Chris Webber had to play center.
Wow.
And the first few shots of the overtime, Chris Webber had Shaq pulled out from the paint, and he was shooting jumpers, hitting jumpers, and the Kings fans were just going nuts.
Oh, that's
awesome. Game 7 was in Sacramento. Crazy.
Chris Webber's good.
So, yeah, not yeah, he's awesome. One of those.
Yeah.
Last one I remember being really memorable was that, I mean, for me, a lot of those Laker ones, but was the one that I remember that's sustaining over time was that, 96, Jordan, and that was just because it was Jordan's last run and he hit that shot, but that was in game six.
Wait, his last run?
97, whenever they beat the
98, yeah. They beat the Jazz back to back in 97 and 98.
And so that was the last one I really remember that was very memorable.
Yeah.
All right, so here's my true false. Are you ready?
So ready.
Because I've got to remember what I was going to say. Because I just want that.
I'm ready, man.
Taylor, you got one?
No.
I have one.
I couldn't think.
You got another one?
Yeah.
All right,
we can always count on Andrew.
True or false, Manu Ginobili should retire after this.
True.
True.
I feel like he's kind of ruining his, like, international basketball legacy here. Yeah. Like, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame regardless because it's not NBA Hall of Fame, which I don't know if he would make NBA Hall of Fame. I'm not sure. But since it is just basketball Hall of Fame, he'll definitely make it.
Yeah. He won that many titles, though.
Yeah.
And you, not that he created the Euro step, but you bring the Euro step to the NBA.
Mm-hmm. There was one Euro step he made.
When, last night?
He cut right between two guys with a little left. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I said, how do you do that?
And then just popped left right in between two guys and up for the basket. It was ridiculous.
Without Monty Ginobili, I don't know that James Harden would have the game that he does.
No. Dwayne Wade has taken after him a lot.
I mean, he's very influential in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But he was bad.
Real bad.
I mean, one play that – there's two plays that stick out to me when I think about – Manu Ginobili in the finals, at least in game seven, was Tony Parker just throws the ball to him and it goes right through his hands out of bounds right in front of the bench. Man.
Oh, man. And there was, yeah. Well, and then two plays later is the one where he threw some wicked curveball at Gary Neal. That yeah. thing, like, hooked.
I thought it had to definitely hit off the fingers.
Way you thought, but it didn't.
No, it did not.
That sucker goes left and then veers right, and he had, like, English on it.
It was so far away from... Was it Gary Neal over yeah. there? It was so far away from... I couldn't believe it.
Here's the things I thought Pop did poorly last night. He stuck with Danny Green for way too long.
I agree. Yeah.
He was atrocious.
He gave him like the whole first half, and he showed he had zero confidence in anything.
The thing is that they didn't give him space to shoot the shots that he was shooting
yeah.
in games, you know, 1 through 5.
He's really good when he's wide open.
When he's wide open, he's money. But the guy can't dribble. Mm-hmm. And I told you guys earlier, he went from making about $8 million with the Timberwolves, Bobcats, Wizards, whoever else wants to sign him, to making probably like 2 or 3 with the Spurs again.
Which is yeah. maybe that's what they're doing.
They're like, I'd rather have to.
Hey, Danny, don't shoot threes this game. Dribble around a lot. Throw a lot of passes out of bounds. Get yourself trapped in a corner. It'll be good for us. RC, we have a chance to win.
RC Buford came down and said, "We got to throw this title because we got to be able to sign.
Sign Danny.
We got to sign Danny Green to a smaller contract. Throw the title, Pop. Throw it."
So here's my. I have two true false, and they both are off season stuff. So we'll kind of transition.
Do we all say true on Manu?
Yeah. He won't.
No, he won't. But I don't know.
He'll re-sign next year. We'll all just be like, you remember when we thought he should have retired? Now he's averaging 23. And
I mean, he wasn't great the whole season.
He would just have hurt
games.
A lot,
he would
too.
Have games where he's like, wow, that's Manu.
It wouldn't shock me if he retired, though.
Huh?
It wouldn't surprise me if he was done.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a sad day for the NBA when him and Tim Duncan retire.
And Popovich leaves with Tim.
I want Popovich to stay around forever. Did I tell you? Did you see my tweet last night?
Kill everyone on the team if Tim Duncan.
No way, man! Right. He had the greatest pre-game press conference in the history of the NBA. And then what happened afterwards? So he tells them in the pre-game press conference, he says, "This is the last game of the season." That's the best news I've heard all day. But then after the game, he walks up to Eric Spoelstra and he's smiling.
Yep.
And he says, "We are both glad that game is over. Mm-hmm. Good job." And then kind of walks on and hugs everybody. And Dwayne Wade, it's just fun because now Pop had a history with the Olympics team, but you watch LeBron James, you know, you see the amount of respect that the NBA has for Pop. Dwayne Wade and LeBron James beeline for him and hug him and are kind of laughing with him and talking about how, you know, like,
yeah.
I want a microphone on the sidelines for all those conversations post game, mm-hmm. like, because they're so good and it's people being real honest about how good LeBron and all those people are. And if you want to ask, you want to evaluate LeBron James' legacy, talk to the people that have played against him in the last two finals.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say, so this is transitioning a little bit out of that and into a little bit of offseason, because if you didn't know, the NBA draft is less than a week away.
Wow.
The Thunder will be a completely different team on Friday morning.
It won't be the same. Kevin Durant may not be back.
They are talking about trading Russell Westbrook. For Ben McLemore. Straight up. No. Nothing actually will probably happen that will affect the Thunder. But here's my true or false. The Thunder will make a move to get higher in the draft on Thursday night. True or false?
Oh, I want to say true. I don't know. There is absolutely no way that we could actually predict this to be true or false. Yeah. But do I want it to be true? Yes. I want them to do something with this 12th pick besides take a center.
Yeah.
I want them to if like CJ McCollum were to fall to 12, I would say take him in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, I think he would be awesome. I think then you can let Kevin Martin go. You let CJ and Reggie come off the bench. But other than that, nothing about Steven Adams or Kelly Olynyk or any of those guys
excites
me. What would you have to do to get higher? You put that 12th pick with the 32nd pick, or do you try to do first your first would and
you,
second pick?
Would you go as far as to trade Jeremy Lamb in a package?
Depending on what, I mean, if you could get Victor Oladipo or Ben McLemore, yeah. Yes.
But nobody's going to want Jeremy Lamb. Like, they don't know anything about him. I think the bigger asset would be, like, would you be willing to trade Reggie Jackson to move up and get Oladipo?
Yeah, that's...
If like, C.J. McCollum was in the mix for Reggie Jackson or something like that, I would do that.
I'm so in on Reggie Jackson right now.
Yeah, I would,
too, but...
I wouldn't trade Reggie for C.J.
I can't wait to see him with this gain confidence going in with that second unit next year.
I mean, you could trade... You could probably trade the 12th pick and Jeremy Lamb to, like, the Pistons or something like that for, like, their... I think they're either 8 or 9.
Get closer.
And get just up a few spots.
Hope that people maybe start going crazy with centers.
So, or you can just package both your first round picks.
Hey, you remember the time that Alex Lynn has moved up gangbusters?
Everybody.
That's my true false.
Like, will he actually be useful in the NBA?
No, mine is, will the Cavs really take Alex Lynn with the number one overall?
I have no idea.
Would it be, I mean, wouldn't that be, like, outrageous if they did, though?
Supposedly, the guy has as much upside as anybody in the NBA or anybody in the draft.
It's not totally surprising just because nobody knows who the best player is.
Right, there's not a just...
And Nerlens Noel has, like, done everything he can to destroy his name in the past few weeks.
What has he done? I don't know any of this.
He doesn't...
Heroin?
That's not that
bad. What has he done? Apparently, the stories that are coming out is that people are trying to contact him, and he doesn't have an agent, apparently, right now, or whoever is taking care of his stuff. He's trying... I guess big-name agents have tried to interview him and have tried to get him in, and he's, like, blown off these guys, like, won't show up to the interviews, like, over and over and over again. And...
Burning bridges before he even crosses them.
Yeah. I mean, apparently he's doing worse than Shabazz Muhammad and all these other things. He's not showing up. He's not doing, like the Grantland interviews, which are pretty cool. If you check, you can look at him on YouTube. But he didn't do a Grantland interview. He's not really doing much of anything. And his stock is falling because of that. And there's teams that are saying that if Nerlens falls to them, that they will not take him.
Wow, just because they're so concerned with how he's acting? Or?
His acting and also his injuries.
His injury, yeah.
And I guess he's had an injury history even before his ACL. Mm-hmm. So there's just tons of red flags for this guy just popping up everywhere right now. So Alex Lynn may be the guy if they're looking to draft a big man.
Ben McLemore's been falling too. I've heard he's not been working out very well recently.
No, I've heard that too. He went to Orlando and just stunk it up.
Yeah, just out of shape.
I wouldn't hate if he fell far enough for us to jump up and get him.
Yeah, I would love to see the Thunder get a blue chipper like that. But it's going to be tough. But, I mean, the most likely scenario is that they're going to keep the 12th pick, and I don't know who
draft somebody that's going to let us down.
I don't know who they're going to take, but man,
not necessarily.
I don't know. I would like to see them package their two first-round picks and go get somebody.
What do you honestly think will happen? Did you just say that?
I said I think they'll keep the 12th pick and take...
Here's what I want
who.
Kind of to happen. If you're going to take it, like if it's going to be a project regardless, right? Steven Adams is who I've seen numerous times. Yeah. Pittsburgh center, going to be a project, not going to play for this year, maybe not next year. Is there anybody that has higher upside, like that would fit a piece that we need? Like, I'll think of Shabazz. I keep going back to that guy, but the guy's got some upside, and he plays a, you know, I guess we do need a center at some point. You've heard me say that before, that I feel like the center position is becoming almost obsolete, but I don't know.
I would not take – I wouldn't – Project Big Men – like,
we don't do well with them.
When was the last Project Big Man in the NBA that, like, panned out? Like, not guys. I mean, even Hasheem Thabeet probably was better in college than Steven Adams.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
He's better than everybody. He was better than Alex Lynn.
I don't know. Alex Lynn was actually pretty good.
Yeah, but Thabeet was All-American, like, 3 years.
Was he really?
Yeah, he's so good. That may just made that sad up, but I think he was. All right, moving on. This little next section, which is also one of my true false questions, is things that Jay is already tired of hearing about. And that is this bullcrap Boston Celtics, LA Clippers conversation that's been on again, off again every single day this week. So the true false is Doc Rivers will be the head coach of the Celtics next year.
I think it's false. I think that there has been too much said and there's been too much happening. He may not be the coach of the Clippers either, but it wouldn't surprise me if they just said, you know, Doc, I'm not sure really how you're going to get this locker room together if you come back. So we're going to cut you loose. We're going to go find another coach to start our rebuild with. And they're also paying him $7 million a year. He's the highest paid coach, so I just don't think that you can keep him and rebuild and also have all these different conversations and know that he wants out and know that he would like to go coach a title team and then bring him back. And after I say all that, they may do it, but I don't think that he will be the coach for the Celtics next year.
I think this deal is actually going to go through because the Clippers are going to, I think the Clippers are going to end up giving up a lot more than they wanted to, just to keep Chris Paul happy, because obviously Chris Paul has played a big deal in these talks coming back on. Like, he wants KG and Doc, I think. And I think they want to keep him happy, because you can't piss off your best player on the team if you want him to who's going to be a free agent.
Especially if he's a free agent.
Like, he can just walk if he doesn't like what you do, so you got to do it.
So what are they offering? They want draft pick?
I guess
DeAndre
and two first rounders.
They don't want Bledsoe
for KG.
Now
they do. They wanted Bledsoe, but the Clippers, I guess, these talks have been on again, off again, like you said. And one of the sticking points was, like, the Clippers said, we are not including Eric Bledsoe in this
trade.
Because
they want to package him to the Magic or something.
Send him to the Magic is what everybody's saying.
I heard that actually the Celtics were just like, okay, one draft pick, and they won't do it. That's what I heard last. That's what I read on Twitter, that the Celtics came down to, okay, just give us one first round for Doc, and we'll do it. Give us, like, your very first one.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do it.
The problem with that is that you can't. If the conversation was leaked out that it was give us a first round draft pick for Doc Rivers, then the league would squash it, because you can't do that.
So, well, and that's why it did get squashed yesterday, right? Like, I don't think they agreed to it, and David Stern turned.
No,
it,
it was never, like, agreed to in principle or anything like that.
It wasn't.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, and that was all. And a lot of this is ESPN created. ESPN has gone from reporting stories to creating stories, and with this whole Doc Rivers thing, I feel like ESPN has created a lot of this mess, because they brought David Stern on the radio and said, mm-hmm. Hey, this is what's happening. Could they do this? And, like, they're just creating so much attention on this stupid thing that hasn't, I mean, nothing's really even happened.
Right.
It's just frustrating, and I don't know if ESPN is. And I think a lot of times they do create stories, and I wonder if they're creating a story right now.
Could be. So let me just share with you who the Clippers have on their salary books for next year. It's almost nobody.
Yeah, so many people.
They've got DeAndre Jordan, Caron Butler, Blake Griffin, Jamal Crawford, Eric Bledsoe, and Willie Green. That's it.
Willie Green.
Good. Chauncey's gone. Grant Hill's gone. Ryan Gomes is gone. Or not gone, but they are not signed for next year. Lamar Odom, Turioff, Hollins, Matt Barnes, Trey Tompkins, Travis Leslie, and Dwan Summers, Malik Wayans. Who are these people?
Great.
I don't know. All right, so here, I've got a quick game we can play before we wrap up. And this is just because I was looking through Hoops Hype as far as salaries. Can you name me the top 10 highest paid players in the NBA?
Kobe.
Number one.
Joe Johnson.
Number six.
Powell.
Number nine.
Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce is 17.
He's 17? Wow. Oh, gosh.
If you guys guess KD. Number two, I'm taking my shirt off. KD is number 12.
Oh, man.
Amar'e Stoudemire.
Number five.
Wow.
So you've got four of the top 10.
Is Dwight up there?
Number eight.
Dirk's
number three.
Who the heck is number two?
It's a guy who has been with a team for a long time. It would have to be.
21.5 million dollars.
21?
It's not Joe Johnson. It's not Kobe.
No. Number one's Kobe. Number two, you don't have. Number three is Dirk. Number four, you don't have. Number five is Amari. Number six, Joe Johnson. Number seven, you don't have. Number eight is Dwight Howard. Number nine is Pau Gasol. Number 10, you don't have.
Oh, gosh.
And Darren Williams?
You're never going to get this.
I'm never going to get this.
I don't want it. Don't tell me yet.
Yeah, don't say anything.
It's so hard because I'm thinking of the best players, but then I'm like, no, I know he's on a good contract.
LeBron James. LeBron James is 13. Paul's 11.
Zach Randolph
is 18. Derrick Rose is 21.
I'm trying to go through all the teams.
Yeah,
in my head right now.
Give us 20 minutes.
Yeah, give me 3 hours.
What's KG? Is he? He's not.
Kevin Garnett is not even in the top 20.
Wow.
Five. Not even in the top 30, actually.
What's Granger?
Not even on my list.
Not even on the list.
Josh Smith? Oh, no.
Nope.
No.
Number two, y'all ready?
Yeah.
Plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Kevin Love? No. What?
Is one of the most overplayed players in the NBA.
Brandon Roy.
21.45 million dollars. That's what it says, top salaries right there.
Well, this is complicated. Because Brandon Roy was amnestied, so he is still getting paid.
Oh, he has, that's two contracts, basically.
And then he gets the money on top of whatever the Timberwolves, what the Timberwolves are paying him.
He gets
that money too.
So that's two.
I'm pretty sure number four is the same way too.
Who's number four?
Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, Gil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of active guys.
Number 10.
Gilbert Arenas, why is he on there? Are these top 10 all time?
Amnesty.
This is top 10 salaries right now. He's still making $20 million from who? Amnesty. The Magic?
Magic.
Number 10. It's probably the same exact thing. This is Elton Brand.
Yeah.
Making $18 million. So three Amnesty players are.
I didn't think of the Amnesty.
Three of the top 10 NBA salaries out there.
That's really confusing.
Isn't it really confusing? You're like, well, it wouldn't be Gilbert Arenas because he got an amnesty.
Those are good amnesty candidates.
Or you don't think Gilbert Arenas is making is making any money.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen. Next Thursday night, we are live podcasting during the NBA draft. I don't really know what that's going to look like. It could be a 4-hour long podcast. We'll probably just podcast through the 12th pick. And then we'll stop and come back during the 29th pick, is my opinion on it. So if you want to join us, we're going to be at Taylor Dickerson's house. It's over in Beacon Hill.
My family will not be there.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. But thanks for joining us today. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Check us out in iTunes. Search Down to Dunk Podcast. Follow us, rate us, listen to us. We'd love for you to give us input. Thanks for listening.